All right. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you today. Thank you for joining us for worship. My name is Jason, if we haven't met. I'm one of the pastors here at the church. We're so excited that you would choose to worship with us today. We continue this morning in a sermon series we have titled, Jesus Said. And so if you have your Bibles, why don't you go ahead and turn with me to Matthew's Gospel. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 5 today. And if you're just joining us today, during this sermon series, Jesus Said, we're looking at the Sermon on the Mount, which continues from Matthew chapter 5 all the way through Matthew chapter 7, where we're going to be looking at the things that Jesus said. It's fantastic. We're so excited to share this time with you now. Today we're looking at something that is very difficult to preach on and something probably equally as hard to receive. The text before us is not happy-go-lucky, but it is a good passage, and it's something that could definitely lead to blessing in your life. Maybe even now as you're kind of looking there, Matthew chapter 5, we're going to be in verse 10 and following. This is not the kind of passage you read for a quick pick-me-up. It's deep, and it's meaty, and you're going to have to wrestle with it a little bit. It's a tough passage. It goes down hard, and it burns a little bit. But in the end, it can definitely bless you. And so let's look at it now. Notice there, follow along as I read Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, 11, and 12. It says this, blessed are those who have been, wait a second, what does it say? This must be a mistake. Does your Bible say persecuted? Does it say persecuted? My goodness. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And so now you see what I mean, persecution. Persecution is the one beatitude blessing. Let's just be honest. Can we be honest this morning? We're all in church. Let's be honest. Jesus is here. Jesus is watching. Can we just be honest that this beatitude blessing is the one blessing that nobody really wants? Am I right? And so some of you are looking at the friend right now that brought you to church today, and you're like, what in the world? What did you bring me to church on this Sunday for? I'm expecting happy stuff. You said it was going to be about blessings. I don't see any happy stuff here. And so don't worry. Don't worry. Why don't we pray? And I'm going to ask the Lord for his help so that each of us can get our heads and our hearts around the passage before us. Okay, let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you this morning. Thank you for all those that you've brought here today. And so God, we begin by thanking you for being a good God who speaks and for being the kind of God that wants a relationship and who communicates to us so that we might know who you are. That is awesome. Thank you, Lord, for being that kind of God. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming to reveal to us the God who speaks to us as the God who speaks. Holy Spirit, we thank you for inspiring the scripture, and we ask that you would illuminate our understanding of the Bible so that we might know who Jesus is and what he has done. I ask, Holy Spirit, to help us get our heads and our hearts around what we perceive as a harder passage. And it's our prayer that we would hear from you today and respond appropriately. This we ask in Jesus' good name. Amen. So, if you're just joining us today, and if you're new to the church, it should tell you something that we are not skipping over verse 10, 11, and 12. It should tell you something, because I'm telling you, it would be way easier just to pretend like it's not here, all right? But we're not going to do that. It should tell you something, what we believe about Jesus and his word. It should tell you something. Many churches, they would just like, wait a second, persecution? Nope. Nope, let's just scratch that part. Let's just scratch it. And so let me tell you really quick about what we believe. Without apology, we don't make any apologies about anything that is said this morning. Without apology, here at the Grove, we believe that Jesus Christ is eternally God, and he came into human history. Amen? It says in John chapter 1, that he is the very Word of God. You guys know that? And so God speaks to us through the person and through the work and through the ministry and the life and the teaching and the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here at the Grove, we love our Lord and we hold his word high. And as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is breathed out. It's inspired by God. It's breathed. It's inspired. Literally, God worked through the human authors to articulate and to speak to us. And as scripture, then, it's profitable for teaching and for reproof and for correction and for training in righteousness. And so that's why we're not skipping this passage. And so welcome to Persecution Sunday, all right? And so why don't you go ahead and tell the person sitting next to you, hey, neighbor, welcome to Persecution Sunday. Glad you're here, all right? It's going to be one of those kind of days. And so the big idea this morning is really a challenge, okay? It's a challenge. The challenge is to confess Jesus always. That's the challenge. That's the big idea this morning. The big idea is a challenge to confess Jesus always. Because I'm telling you, if we're going to survive and thrive through persecution, and it's coming, and it's already here, then confessing Jesus regularly and often is something that we must do. And so my message this morning has 3 points. My first point for you is this. You got to stand up for what's right, all right? And so that's right there in verse 10. You got to stand up for what's right. Notice there, I'm going to read it again. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for what's right, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so some of you are just joining us today, and maybe you missed last Sunday. Real quick, by way of context, last Sunday we looked at the first 7 Beatitudes of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, verses 1 through 9. If you missed that, check it out online. You can also find it on our Grove app. Today is the 8th and the final Beatitude. You already have seen it. Blessed are those who have been persecuted. And so here's the problem. Some of us have bought into the belief that if we simply get Jesus in our life, then everything's great. It's just great, right? It's just great. That's what we've heard, or that's what we've been taught. I mean, I got Jesus. And so I guess that means I'm going to be successful and I'm going to be financially well off because I got Jesus. I got Jesus. And now all of my dreams will come true. It's because I got Jesus. I got Jesus. I'm going to be popular now. I'm going to be slightly above average in all areas of my life because I got Jesus. Is that how it works? Is that how it works? Unfortunately, no. The Bible says the exact opposite of that. As a matter of fact, for those that do honor and obey Jesus. Jesus never taught the prosperity gospel. He never promised you health and wealth and a long life and longevity. He didn't promise that, but he did promise a persecution gospel. And so here's how it works. Jesus is saying, just kind of looking at the Beatitudes now, if we are the kind of person, God help us, right? If we're the kind of person that lives out the first 7 Beatitudes, if we're that kind of person, then get ready for the 8th one. The 8th one is persecution. That's basically what happens. And so it's like an equation. Think of it this way. If you're the kind of person of verse 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, then get ready for verse 10, 11, and 12. That's basically what Jesus is saying. And so if you're looking back now, just kind of reviewing these Beatitudes, if you are poor in spirit, some are going to think you're self-righteous. If you mourn over sin, then others will feel convicted that they don't want to be around you. If you're meek, if you're gentle, then people might run over you. When you break out of the spiritual status quo and hunger and thirst for God, then some will label you as a religious fanatic. If you're merciful, then people will call you gullible. If you strive to be pure in heart, then you will feel the tension of the world that lives off lust. And if you endeavor to be a peacemaker, then get ready for war. And now let me address how prevalent this is in our day and age. And then we'll get to the blessing that is actually possible through the persecution. And so, a couple examples for you. This is up to date as of 2020, and so just think about last year. According to Open Doors, which is a ministry that has monitored Christian persecution for about 30 years, last year, 2020, more than 340 million Christians were living in countries where it would be common to suffer high levels of persecution and discrimination because of their faith. Open Doors determined last year that 4,761 Christians were killed for their faith last year alone. 4,488 churches or Christian buildings were attacked last year in 2020. And 4,277 Christians were unjustly arrested, detained, or imprisoned. And by the way, it's for their faith in Jesus. All right, they're not in the jailhouse because they knocked over a liquor store. It's because of their faith. And so let's get practical. Here's what all those stats tell us. There are Christian brothers and sisters right now, check your watch, 10:34 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. There are Christian brothers and sisters in prison because of their faith. There are people right now suffering physically, tortured, imprisoned, of course, separated from their families. Some today will face death because of their faith. It's true. And hear me, loved ones, they will do it gladly. Do you understand this? Do you understand that? We live in a country where many churches are safe and they're sheltered and they're anemic. Not our church, but many churches are this way. It's sad. It's sad to think that there are so many churches and Christians attending those churches that are decaffeinated and zero calorie and light Christianity, which is lukewarm and marginal at best. And this morning, there are brothers and sisters on their knees with a gun to their head, perhaps a butcher's knife to their throat, an executioner standing by with a smile on his face, and they will lose their life today, and they will consider it all joy. That's the reality, loved ones. And so I know this is heavy, and so just so you know, I'm not preaching at you this morning. I'm for you. I'm for you. All right, I'm for you. And I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching for you, and for your good, and for your eternal reward. And so don't shy away from this hard passage. Don't shy away from it. Just kind of sit there and allow the Lord to speak, allow the Holy Spirit to give clarity on what this means for you. Linger in the moment, uncomfortable as it may be. And I could go on with many, many examples. And so maybe to that you say, you know, Jason, I think, isn't most persecution overseas, though? I think it's all overseas. It's like those countries, you can't really pronounce them, but they all end in Ikistan. I think that's where all of the persecution is. Not here. Not here. It's like over there. It's over there somewhere. Not here, though. It's over there. What about the good old U.S. of A.? Well, I'll get to that in a second. But let me just say this. The leadership here at the church, we believe, it's not just me, all of our hearts, that hostility towards people of genuine faith is on the rise. And it's not just overseas, it's here as well. And it's not going away. You know that, right? And it's probably going to increase. And it's going to get a whole lot worse before it gets better. And I'm not trying to scare you, I'm simply trying to prepare you. We feel compelled of the Lord to challenge the people of the Grove Bible Chapel to stand up! To stand up! To stand up for what's right. Are you listening, Christian? To stand up for what's right. And isn't that my first point this morning? In light of persecution, make sure that you stand up for what's right. As in, take a stand, Christian. As in, united we stand. As in, stop sitting in the shadows. Stand up. Stand up for Christ in a world that is becoming more and more hostile to Him and to our faith. You getting it? Stand. That's the point this morning. You have to stand for what's right. And so before we continue on here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, I want to draw your attention to this big, beautiful baptismal tank. You guys see this over here? It's beautiful. And today's, in addition to Persecution Sunday, it's also Baptism Sunday. And a special thanks to Matt Olson for guaranteeing that this water is both calm and warm. And so I feel like I'm at the Caribbean Sea right now. It's like the Bahamas. It's beautiful, all right? The water's warm. The water is perfect. You know, here at The Grove, we get really excited about baptisms because it's an opportunity to watch men and women, students, children, profess their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they share their story, when they share their testimony, doesn't it encourage you? We get to see them take a stand for their faith, and we love that around here. It's probably one of my favorite parts of the year. And we get to hear people tell their story and what God is doing in their life, and they publicly profess Jesus, and it is the best. And so let me just say this. This is an invitation to everyone. If you've never been baptized as a follower of Jesus Christ, then today can be your day. All right, so consider it for yourself. Think about it. It would be our privilege to baptize you. And so typically when somebody is baptized, pastor gets in the water with them, and it goes something like this. They begin by telling what their life was like before Christ. And so oftentimes the person will say, you know, this is how my life was, and this is how I was living my life, and this is just kind of, I was just kind of doing my own thing. But then I heard about the good news about Jesus Christ. And ever since then, God has got a hold of my life, and he died for me. I learned that. I learned that Jesus not only died for my sins, but he conquered death for my salvation. Now I believe in him, and today I want to stand for him, and I want everybody to know that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And so today I'm going to stand, and I'm a worshiper of him. Now God's changed my life. And so that's kind of what most of baptism testimonies sound like. We celebrate that here. And so just over there, right through that door, there's an exit sign. You guys see it. Just through that door, there is a room with a whole bunch of shorts and shirts in every size, along with towels and a private bathroom to change in. And so if you're like, well, I didn't really come prepared, we got everything that you need. And so you got about 15 minutes to think about it. Pastor Amir is going to be back there to answer any questions that you might have. We're going to have a couple elders back there to answer any questions that you might have. Randy Olson, Lewis Cruz are going to be there as well. And so give it a think. Back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Notice the reason why. Here's why we will be persecuted. You guys see it? You guys see it? It's because of the life that we live. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. And so listen up, church. If you're going to be treated badly, make sure that you're treated badly for the sake of righteousness. The word righteousness refers to living the straight way and following Jesus. To be righteous simply means that you live your life like the Lord. And so think about it this way. Some of you may have been mistreated before, all right? But were you mistreated because of righteousness? That's the question. And so here we go. If you don't use deodorant, all right? Some people are like, I don't need that stuff, man. That's overrated. So if you don't use deodorant, and if you're a Florida resident, don't claim persecution when nobody wants to sit by you at work, all right? That's not persecution. As it says in the King James Bible, you stinketh, all right? And so man, you should just see the way they treat me at work. I'm a Christian. Nobody wants to have lunch with me. That's not persecution. It's called deodorant. And get some. Don't be stingy. Don't be stingy. All right? In the same way, though, if you live in an HOA, you live in a community, and they send you a notice that you've been fined. Listen, if you park your bass boat in your front yard and get a fine, it's not persecution that you're suffering. That's called being a bad neighbor. Man, you should just see the way my neighbors treat me. I'm a Christian and nobody wants to be my friend. It's called HOA bylaws. You should read them. Consider following them. It's not persecution. Once again, if you're going to be treated badly for the sake of righteousness. We all on that? Last thing, notice the sweet promise for those who stand up for what's right. Do you guys see it? Very end of verse 10. For there, you guys see it? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What a promise. What a great reward. The kingdom of heaven is God's domain, the domain of salvation, the realm of salvation. And the truth is, all of the Beatitude promises are synonyms for being in God's eternal kingdom. All of these things, the kingdom of heaven in verse 3, comfort in verse 4, inheriting the earth, verse 5, being satisfied, receiving mercy, seeing God, being called sons of God, and having the kingdom of God mentioned a second time, all of them promises, synonyms for being in God's eternal kingdom. And so let's move on here. Now notice there, verse 11, second point, stand strong for the name of Jesus. Stand strong for the name of Jesus. Notice there, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Maybe you notice this. There's a change of tense from the third person to the second person. This is the only beatitude that's directed specifically to us. The tense changes from blessed are those in verse 1 through 10 to blessed are you in verse 11. And so I think we all know this. Persecution takes many different forms. There's not one form of persecution. There's many different forms. In fact, there's three forms mentioned in verse 11. Maybe you notice them. There's the insult. This is where people are mean to you face to face. Mean words, verbal abuse. They are unkind to you. Because of your righteousness, because of who your God is, because of who your Savior is. Insult, maybe it's through social media. It can happen over the phone, but that's kind of the idea. It's in an insult. There's also, they use the word persecute actually. It's the most common word for physical violence. Maybe they're chasing you away, or maybe they're pursuing you. If you read through the book of Psalms, for example, like how many Psalms are about David fleeing for his life? That's persecution. It's physical persecution. That is the second form Jesus mentions. And then lastly, you say, falsely say all kinds of evil against you. This is behind your back. This is where people are talking behind your back. And they lie about you, and they're bearing false witness about you. And so picture this, this beatitude, all eight of them, Jesus is preaching them while he is a part of his greater Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, 6, and 7. And so now Jesus, remember, if you were here last week, we find out that Jesus is speaking directly, do you guys remember? To his disciples. And the crowd is, of course, there. They're listening in. Think about this a moment. The disciples are the one receiving what Jesus is having to say now about persecution. Fast forward in time, do you know the kind of persecution that these disciples encountered in their life? It's very interesting. This is according, of course, to church tradition. This is according, of course, to church history. Get this. Philip, one of Jesus' disciples, was scourged, thrown into prison, then crucified. Matthew was killed with a sword. James, the lesser James, was stoned to death. Andrew, Peter's brother, was crucified along with Simon the Zealot, Bartholomew, and Jude, also known as Thaddeus. Peter was crucified upside down. Do you know why? Because he did not feel worthy to be crucified in the same manner as his Lord. Doubting Thomas, whatever happened to him, it's reported that he was speared to death. John was exiled to an island called Patmos where he died as a prisoner. And James, what happened to him? Beheaded. It's a powerful account, actually. Church history tells us that while James is being led to his execution, he's beheaded. While James is being led to his execution, his accuser was so convicted at how James was handling this walk towards his death that he felt convicted about his sin. He actually the accuser repented of his sin, and he trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when James was beheaded, it's reported that he was beheaded as well. My goodness, so powerful. And so maybe as you hear all this stuff, you're like, come on, man. It's 2021. We live in the United States of America. We don't have to worry about this stuff. Everybody knows it happens in someplace else, but not here. Not here. I grew up here. It doesn't happen here. You might be surprised to learn the Bible has a lot of warnings about persecution. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. This is echoed in Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, where it says, for it is better, it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. And so the second point here this morning is stand strong for the name of Jesus. The disciples did that. They stood strong for the name of Jesus. And they lost their life, but in the end they were blessed. And the important thing for us is we should expect no less. And so let's talk about 2021 here in the good old U.S. of A. What I share now is not intended at all. It's not intended at all to be political. I simply want to touch on a few current events simply so that you can understand where I'm coming from. We live in a day and age that is, what's the word? Consumed. We live in a day and age that is consumed. I think that's the best word. We live in a day and age that is consumed, not with righteousness. Would you agree? It seems like the world in which we live is consumed with the LGBTQ transgender perversion. It seems like that's all we hear. I think it was last month during the swearing-in of the new Secretary of State, Antony Blinken. Did you guys hear this? It's like the guy just got sworn in. It's like, hey, what do you want to say? Like, what are you going to do? You're the Secretary of State now. What's important to you? What should we hear from you? This is what he said. He said, well, this is kind of among the most important things to me. He's like, we vow to put a gay pride flag on every United States embassy. That's among your top priorities? Yeah, that's it. And so I mentioned that just to tell you, this perversion has literally turned our culture upside down. David Grant and I were talking on Thursday at our men's gathering, and David said it so well, Dr. David. If a doctor says it, it must be true, right? Dr. David said that what used to be right and wholesome, what used to be right and wholesome is now considered wrong, and it's opposed. Think about that. What used to be right and wholesome is now wrong and opposed. And so if you disagree in any way, then what are you considered? You're a domestic terrorist. You're an extremist if you disagree. If you disagree with the LGBTQ agenda, then you're a danger to society. You're homophobic. You need to be silenced. You need to be canceled. And for those of us who are Bible-believing Christians, right now, laws are being made to criminalize righteousness. Do you understand that? Laws are being made to silence and eventually terminate truth speakers. And so what does that mean for the church? What does that mean for followers of Jesus Christ? You know what it means. You know what it means. Remember what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 15, verse 18. He says, if the world hates you, and it will, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it has hated you. The basic principle is if the world treated the most righteous person in human history, how did they treat him? They killed him. Should we expect any different? If they hated him, and they did, then they will hate us too. Listen, Christian, listen up. You got to stand strong for the name of Jesus. And isn't that my second point this morning? In light of persecution, make sure that you stand strong for the name of Jesus. As in united we stand. As in take a stand, Christian. As in stop sitting in the shadows, stand strong. Stand strong for the name of Jesus in a world that is becoming more and more hostile to your faith. You getting it? Stand. That's the point this morning. You have to stand strong for the name of Jesus. Before we look at this last verse, verse 12, let me draw your attention back to this big, beautiful baptismal tank. Feast your eyes on this. It's like I'm on vacation right now. Man, that water's nice. We love baptisms here at the church. And I'm going to say it again. Because it's a public opportunity. Most of the time, it's the first time where people get to profess their faith in Jesus. The truth is, when it comes to publicly professing our faith, baptism is the way that you do that. Have you been baptized as a follower of Jesus Christ? Here's the thing. Persecution is coming. It's already at our doorstep. It's already here. It's going to be a part of our life. And you and me, followers of Jesus, need to get in the habit where we are professing Jesus regularly and often. Baptism is the first opportunity where we get to do that. And so some of you maybe you're thinking, shouldn't I? Of course you know the right answer, don't you? The answer is yes, of course you should. Yeah, but I'm having a good hair day, Pastor. Me too, join the club. Brandon, it's like good hair day every day. It's a big decision. It's between you and the Lord. And you have a couple minutes left to decide. Let me just answer a couple questions for you about baptism. I want to be clear on this. First of all, baptism doesn't save you. Some churches teach that it actually saves you. The Bible doesn't teach that. We don't teach that. Baptism doesn't save you, but it is what saved people do. This morning, we do have several students that have expressed interest in being baptized. We have Ian, we have Jackson, we have MC, and we are so excited for you guys. What a great thing. They love Jesus, and they want to publicly declare that. They want to identify with Christ and his death, burial, resurrection, and all this is symbolized through immersion. So if you're wrestling over this decision right now, understand that you're not going to be alone. We have some very brave students that are going to get up here, and they're going to proclaim to the world that I follow the Lord Jesus Christ now, and you can do the same. Baptism is our opportunity to take a stand. This morning, you'll have an opportunity to take a stand, to publicly profess our faith. I remember what Jesus said. Maybe you guys remember this. He said in Matthew chapter 10, it's so powerful. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, "Everyone who acknowledges me," you remember when he said that? "Everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will deny before my Father who is in heaven." Today through baptism, some will acknowledge Jesus before men. Now it's time to take action. And so what are you going to do? I'm going to move on to verse 12. But if you have interest in being baptized today, now is your time to take a stand and head through that door that is clearly marked exit. All right? So you can take a stand. You can stand strong for the name of Jesus. You can be baptized. You can head right through that door. Students, now's a great time for you to go ahead and get changed, to get ready. Take a stand. It's an opportunity to publicly profess our faith. Can we give them applause? Like, that's awesome, isn't it? It's awesome. Praise God. Praise God. That's awesome. We love that. We celebrate that. And once again, it's not too late. If you're like, I don't know if I should or shouldn't, we got plenty of shorts, t-shirts, towels, private bathroom, everything you need. An indoor flush toilet just for you. It's extraordinary. I think you'll like it. Let's go on to verse 12. All right, how exciting. I can't wait. Verse 12, last point. Stand out with gladness. Stand out with gladness, okay? All this persecution talk, it's not like, oh, woe is me, I'm so sad. Christians, we're going to have a sad day. It's not like that. It's not, oh, poor me, I think I made the wrong decision. I thought I was going to get happy and wealthy and live forever. Oh, I'm so sad. All right, don't be like that. That's not the response to what Jesus is teaching here. What does he say? Rejoice and be glad. That's what he says. This is the only beatitude with a command. Rejoice and be glad. Stand out with gladness. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Oh, my goodness. I think we can agree that persecution is a given. But to say it's a gift? Woo! Man. But notice there are a couple reasons. Jesus provides them. that we rejoice in and through it. You guys see it there? Two reasons to rejoice. First, your reward in heaven is great. Your reward is great, so rejoice. Persecution, fantastic. Your reward in heaven is great. Yeah, but Jason, doesn't that sound kind of selfish? I mean, that's kind of selfish, isn't it? It just kind of sounds selfish. No, it's not selfish if it's born out of a pure motive, which is to honor God. There's nothing selfish about that at all. If it's a reward born out of an identification with who Jesus is, and I will serve him, and I will follow him, and I will honor him, and I will obey him, even in the face of adversity, then what happens? Your reward in heaven will be great. To stand or to not stand, that's the question. I can tell you this, when we stand for Jesus, he will stand for us, and there's gladness in that. Back to the text, two reasons to rejoice. Number two, there's a wonderful promise here. It's a wonderful promise. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So basically what Jesus is saying here is, if you're persecuted for the cause of Christ, then congratulations, because you are in some great company. That's basically what he's saying. This week as I was preparing, I was reminded of Hebrews chapter 11. Do you guys know that chapter? It's called, affectionately called, like the heroes of faith. Oh my goodness, it is so good. Hebrews 11, check it out. Talks about the saints of old and how they endured hardship through faith, many of whom were the prophets. It says there that some were tortured, others suffered mockings and floggings, even chains, imprisonments. They were stoned. Some were sawn into two pieces. They were killed with a sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. I could go on and on and on. For the Christian, the prophets serve as models because their rejection was the rule, not the exception. And so to suffer what is right is to be part of a great succession of godly men and women. And it should bring us gladness because the rewards are worth the risk. And so with that said, why don't we go ahead and close our Bibles there. The big idea today has really been a challenge to confess Jesus always. And as I've said several times now, if we're going to survive and thrive through persecution, then we must get in the habit of confessing Jesus often and regularly. It means that we have to take a stand. We must. And so I guess the question of all questions this morning is, how is the Holy Spirit challenging you this morning to step up? Where is it that you need to take a stand in your life? What decisions do you need to make? As in, stand up. Stand strong. Stand out. How might the Spirit of God have you apply this message this morning? Before I have you stand in prayer, let me just say this. As we close, I want to mention one more time the one who stands out the most. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. In all the pages of Scripture, there is one who stands out supreme. What's his name? His name is Jesus. Amen. There's nobody like him. He not only knew God's word, he is the living word. He not only knew who he was, the Son of God, he also pre-decided who he would die for sins. The Bible says that he set his face like flint towards Jerusalem, determined to carry out one of the most loving and sacrificial acts in the history of the world. And he stands out as the only Savior and the only one worthy of our praise and our worship and our adoration. Do you know Jesus Christ this morning? Have you surrendered your life to him? You see, as we accept him as Lord and Savior, he sets us apart so that we will stand out for his glory. And so let's stand together now. Would you join me on your feet? Let me pray for us. We're going to worship. We're going to celebrate some baptisms. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for these promises. Oh my, they're so hard to receive, but they're true and they're right, and we needed to hear this today. It's heavy, it's meaty, it kind of went down hard, it burns a little bit, but it's good. It's good for our soul. Weak messages produce weak Christians. Strong messages produce strong Christians. And so our prayer this morning, God, is that you would strengthen your children, that we could be bold, that we could be loving, that we could be spirit-filled, that we could be like you, Jesus, that we could stand up, that we could stand strong, that we could stand firm. For the sake of your name, we worship you, Jesus, now. Amen.